On the way next, brought to you this morning by First Baptist Church. Opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time with members of the Washington County Suicide Prevention Coalition. And I've got Amber Thompson and Denise Phelps with us this morning. And let me get the right face with the right voice. You're Denise, right? No. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter as long as I introduce the... Okay, so the mic's pointed more at Amber right now. So good morning, Amber. Nice to have you in here this morning.
Well, thanks for having us.
And the Suicide Prevention Coalition has been active in Bartlesville for, as I kind of sit here off the... You know, I would say about 5 years.
Yep.
When the problem was first officially recognized, Bartlesville, Washington County's rate was somewhere about twice the national average. I know we've made progress and we continue to make progress. But I think everybody would agree it's not low enough yet.
No, it's not low enough. It has come down quite a bit, but it's still up there. It's still pretty high.
Yeah. Well, we're going to attack the problem one day at a time, one individual at a time.
That's right.
Yep. I know we've got a few things we want to talk about this morning, but again, kind of setting the date for later in the year, and I know it's in the fall,
yep.
But you have an excellent seminar in the fall.
Yep.
I think it's in November, but I could be wrong.
September 7th, actually.
September 7th. Oh, what a great day for it.
I know.
And that's coming up at the Community Center.
Yes, it is. September 7th, and it'll be at the Community Center. This will be our fifth annual one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited about that. And we're running it kind of the same way. And the morning time and afternoon time is going to be for professionals. Of course, anyone in the community can attend.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have Stuart Smith, who actually did our training that we went to for Survivors of Suicide Facilitator Group in Atlanta, Georgia. And he's going to come. Hopefully, he's going to bring some actual survivors that participated in the group with us. And then the evening, we're still kind of planning, but I would love to get our SOS group in Bartlesville active in that and do kind of a survivors panel and include some talking about grief, sharing our stories, and really getting the community involved more in the evening event.
And your acronym is pretty recognizable, but again, SOS, Survivors of Suicide.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
I try to make sure that when we mention an acronym, at least the first time, we define it. So it just makes sense. But again, yours is you talked about survivors already, and it's so important. And I think sometimes the term survivor is a little bit misunderstood because it can imply both family members, but also those who considered or attempted and were not successful. So.
Right, yeah.
So really, it encompasses a lot of people. And it's important that we talk about it.
It is very important. So that's kind of why we went to this training. There was three of us that went. I work for Grand Lake Mental Health Center, so I was kind of a professional that went.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Denise and then Tia Peters also went, who are survivors themselves. And it was at the Leak. And essentially what it was is how to facilitate support groups better for our community. We were able to get some great brainstorming on how to get this more acclimated in the Bartlesville community. How can we reach out to people that may not know we're here or are dealing with some things themselves? And it was such a wonderful opportunity. The training was amazing. Stuart Smith was the one that he was the therapist that kind of ran the whole show, but they had survivors there who were telling their stories. Anyone from who lost a spouse to lost a child, they kind of walked us through their process and really what guided them and got them to where they were today. So it was a wonderful experience and how we can hopefully bring that impact into Bartlesville.
And that's so important. And I know there are people that are available, whether it's a national toll-free line or local people to talk to, but it's important to get that first or at least secondhand information and be able to talk about how people feel.
Yeah. Right, and so there is a national hotline. There's also, we've got so many wonderful mental health agencies around here that you can walk in at any point. I know Grand Lake specifically, if you're ever feeling like you're in a crisis or you don't have any other options or you just need someone to talk to, you can walk in from 8 to 5. Thursdays we're open from 8 to 7, and the therapist will actually see you right then and there. We also have a crisis line ourselves, which is 1-800-722-3611. You can call that 24/7.
Okay.
So there's lots of agencies, places in the community that Bartlesville has.
Sure. And that face-to-face time, I have to believe is a whole lot more comforting than talking to somebody on the phone.
I would hope so. I mean, I think the face-to-face, you feel like someone's there with you, at least when I've done crises myself. I've done many of them at the high school because that's where I was at. I feel like that personal chat that you get to see someone, you actually get to physically talk with them. They're in the room with you. They're present with you. I think that makes, hopefully that makes an impact on them and can get them to a point where that's not their option. They have other options and we can help them get to those options.
Yeah. And I think to at least as I sit here a little bit removed from it, but also thinking about it, you know, face to face, and also sometimes to be able to actually reach out and touch someone on the hand and make physical contact is important.
It is very important. I agree.
I know that the local coalition has been particularly emphasizing the training that they've been talking about. There's a great acronym for that, and question, persuade. I should know the
QPR.
QPR. Thank you.
Yes, we do that. We haven't done any recently, but anyone in the community, we've got Melissa and Nolan who often go out and do those trainings. And we've done them with ConocoPhillips. We've done them with churches. We've done them for businesses, just kind of having basically what it is, you know, asking the question, are you thinking about suicide? Getting them to those resources and just being that support for them until we can get that support put in place for them.
Yeah, and that is, I know they've found it to be effective even just shortly after someone takes the training. If they have the courage to start asking questions, that it can be very effective.
I think the biggest part of it is just being confident and being okay with asking that question. A lot of the times we don't ask that question because we're scared of the answer that we might get.
Yeah, they might say yes, what do I do next?
Right, and then you get that nervous feeling of, oh no, well, like what do I do next? And that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is just to ask that question, be that support, and then get them to those resources that we have so many of them in the community.
Yeah, and I know that we're finding more and more of those resources all the time, whether it's Grand Lake or just people who have been through the training. So that's great. You brought along a friend, and I want to at least make the transition. We get the opportunity to talk with Denise. Denise, thanks for coming in this morning.
Well, thank you for having us. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to talk to the community about some of the things that are available, and sometimes people don't know.
Yeah.
We do facilitate a group on the first Thursday of the month at 6:30. It's in the library, and it is a Survivors of Suicide Loss group, and it is a safe, confidential, sacred space for people to share what they're going through. And there's a lot of power in just talking about a situation. Mm-hmm. My history is that when I was 11, my mother committed suicide, and it was in the 70s. And it was in a time where suicide was not a word that you even spoke out loud. It was almost like a shame was put on when a death was committed in that way. And so the way my family dealt with it, and not to blame them because everyone does the best that they can, is we just went on. Like, nobody spoke of it. And sometimes there's so much effort going towards the person who actually committed suicide, and so much efforts towards that person, that the family, who are then victims, go by the wayside. And once you're a survivor of a suicide loss, you then become in the high-risk group of suicide. It's a proven fact. And so there has to be ways for people to process that.
Sure.
And what I did is I made bad choices in my life. I mean, I took that guilt and shame because a lot of times you feel responsible. And if you don't have someone to talk to or you don't have somewhere to process it, you start swirling it around in your head and your heart. Well, how did I do this? Or how could I have saved this person? And then you become a holder of that thing. And then it either goes deep inside, or you're able to then process it and realize that's not the situation. So for me, I ended up turning to drugs and alcohol in my life. And so it was that, and I don't blame that particular incident on it. I mean, everybody people do suffer trauma in their life and they don't make bad choices. There's a lot of people that have situations that happen. I'm just talking for my situation.
Well, and so many things are a combination of factors. I mean, it was not just, I'm sure, just that one incident that you know, started you down whatever road you chose. It was this experience and this experience and that experience and talking to a friend, and that's how you got there, I'm sure.
Yes, and because of that, a lot of people have that hidden trauma, and in this, since we're talking about suicide, that thing that then they carry, and it becomes that weight. Mm-hmm. And so our group is there to support people. We're there so people can have a safe place to talk, and there's so much healing in talking to people and realizing that you're not alone, like mm-hmm. your situation is not unique. So when you're sitting in a room of people that you can then connect with, and then maybe get phone numbers or have that person to talk to when you go through those moments of insanity, what I call them. Mm-hmm. And then we can walk this journey together.
You mean you don't schedule those moments for the first Thursday of the month and you're ready to go in and talk about it the next hour?
That's a great idea. I'm going to start working on that.
But I think it's important too with our groups is, you know,
sure.
That you don't actually have to come in and talk. It can be very healing to kind of hear Denise, who's kind of been through this experiencing, and hearing her share her stories and her experiences, her thoughts, that can be very common for someone who's lost someone. I just wanted to put that out there. It's not expected that if you were to come, you don't have to speak.
Yeah.
You will be when you're ready, and that's okay. But hearing those stories is very impactful in their healing process.
I would guess, and that's always a dangerous thing to do, but I would guess that for many people, the first 3, 4, maybe even 6 sessions that they're more or less, you know, sitting along the wall and not really just absorbing what's going on, not really participating a whole lot. At least that's my assumption anyway.
Yes, and that's okay. Like, I'm glad that you brought that up, Amber, because you don't have to come in there and just talk. You might not be ready. Some people don't come until years after. And that's, everybody does their recovery in life when they're ready to do it. That's the way that it works. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was able then to be into recovery. And so now I'm very fortunate that I have a transitional, we do the Inside Out program here in Bartersville. It's new. Mm-hmm. It's called a community reentry place, Inside Out. And we do transitional housing for women coming out of jails, prisons, brokenness, addictions, and then we provide them a safe place to then heal and journey through and then re-enter society and to be complete or whole, or at least to start to have that desire to work towards that way. And a lot of times these things go hand in hand.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. We're going to continue on that topic and give people some more information on the program when we continue in just a moment. Community Connection on 1400 K1 brought to you by First Baptist Church.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
AM 1400 K1, again, Community Connection this morning, focusing on the Washington County Suicide Prevention Coalition, and I get to talk with Amber and Denise. And Denise, you were saying just before we took the break, there's a transitional program, and I know part of it is not only just for, I'll say, the suicide area, but so many other reasons that people might need to make some changes.
Yes, and we're somewhat new. Our program is from Colorado. I'm actually from Colorado, and I moved here 3 years ago to be closer to my grandkids.
Always a good reason.
Wonderful. I live in Nowata, and it's been a great thing. But I was so fortunate to meet Melissa Jenkins, mm-hmm. and she is the one we started talking about. The Washington County Suicide Prevention Coalition, and I had shared my story, and so that's how I was able to be connected and to be able
to... It's too bad you couldn't find somebody with a little bit of enthusiasm. You know?
She truly loves people, mm-hmm. and she cares about them deeply, and I feel the same way, and I'm so fortunate that I can be on the side of supporting. And that usually has a lot of healing to it in itself, mm-hmm. is to be able to be a support person after you've gone through a situation, because you truly have that empathy as well. You know, there's a lot of different levels. You know, I think there's that piece, and then I think there's a professional help piece that goes along with that as well, like getting the resources that you need, like at Grand Lake, mm-hmm. and such, to be able to do that trauma work.
Yeah, and not to take a thing away from what the professionals do, but I'm just kind of intuitively thinking that it was probably just a someone who came alongside as a friend that kind of started the process for you.
Yes, it was that. And well, my life had become completely unmanageable. And I was in a very deep, dark hole, like I said, filled with drugs and alcohol, and it was not going anywhere except death. Mm-hmm. And I was able to realize, you know, somebody did give me a ray of hope. And so then I was able to start doing the work that I needed to do so that I could be alive, for one, but to then do the same thing for someone else. I believe that it is part of life to give life back, and what you've been given so freely.
Mm-hmm. The individual or individuals that really started with you as that initial support group, did they give you the feeling that you weren't doing the work by yourself?
Yes, it was something to the nature of, you cannot do this by yourself. You must take our hand. You must allow us to pull you out of the hole. And that was the little bitty tiny bit of hope. If you can just see the little bitty ray of light, even if you can't see a light, but somebody tells you there is a light and you believe that maybe they're telling the truth, that's enough. That's enough. Because sometimes you're in such a dark place that you don't think there is a light. But somebody says, there is one, and I'm going to try to take you that way.
I don't remember the research, the scientific part of it, but I will mention that I think we can all visualize that, you know, that the light of just one candle, even miles away, but if it's on a hilltop, we're going to see it for a long way out there. And I think that's an important image that I think you're trying to offer to people.
Yes.
Getting back to what Amber and the professionals can help out with, it seems as though, at least through the coalition, that it's a team approach. You're taking what the professionals are giving, and also that it's the civilians, for lack of a better term, that are adding to the outreach and really helping make everything effective. Is that an effect?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. You know, when we went to this training, there was professionals, there were survivors, everyone was there, and it was kind of shocking to me, because suicide is something that I work with on a daily basis, mm-hmm. With my clients, with the community members, and it was a little interesting to see how many professionals hadn't worked with this population or were scared to work with this population, because that's a heavy burden to have.
Sure.
And it was just... it was great to see, and I think learn from people's experiences. You can't learn this through a book. You can't learn this through a class. It's learning it through, you know, Denise, and hearing her story and hearing how she's overcame something that can be catastrophic to someone's life. It's learning through those kids I work with on a daily basis who are struggling with, do I or do I not? What else is there? I feel hopeless. I feel numb. You don't have to be professional. You don't have to have any knowledge on this at all. But if you see someone who isn't looking you at the eye, or might be just kind of having a bad day, it can take anyone just to ask a caring question or recognize them, or, you know, reach out a hand and ask how they're doing for the day, you know, small things like that.
And I know you've mentioned young people several times, partly because that's been your experience.
Correct.
But also, I think we have the stereotype, right, wrong, or otherwise, and most stereotypes are wrong, that it's the teen population where that call for suicide seems to be greatest felt. But it we're talking about any age, any situation.
Any age, any situation, gender, race. It, unfortunately, suicide has no boundaries, has no barriers. This impacts everyone. And I can mostly speak for teens. And just to give you an example, self-harming isn't suicide. It's usually not related, but that's where a lot of people start. Mm-hmm. And teens specifically, one out of every five girls and one out of every seven boys will engage in self-harming experience once in their teen years. And that's just astronomical. So I can only imagine the pain and suffering that could endure later on in life, or even in that moment.
Yeah. So it's frequently it's the teacher, it's the scout leader, it's the pastor, it's the somebody else that offers that first word of encouragement and said, we need to get you over to Amber and let's talk about it.
Right. And we get those calls all the time. I got a call the other day from someone from a church that said, you know, I know you can't tell me if you are seeing this person, but I just want to pass along the information, which is great to hear someone that is so concerned about someone that they want to just get that information out there, and where it goes, it was where it goes, and they're just, you know, reaching out. So it's great to see that side of things and community kind of coming together, and Bartlesville has such a great community, and feel that helps out anyone. I think you kind of see that through Denise and her experiences and now wanting to help out the community even more.
Well, whether it's you or Denise, we need to talk a little about the coalition itself, mm-hmm. when you meet, how people can get involved, because again, new faces are always important.
Oh, it's so important. So we meet the second Thursday of every month, from 11:30 to 1, usually at the library. So we're meeting this Thursday at 11:30. We're going to be going over speakers and planning the summit a little bit more, and I would love the community to come out and kind of help plan with that. I want this to become more of a community involvement, hearing the stories from Bartlesville, so hopefully more people feel impacted by it and want to come out. And I know we are turning rate for people coming is usually great and things like that, but I really want to get that Bartlesville piece into the summit this year because that's so important. I think it's going to tie really great into having Stuart Smith come in and hearing his stories and hopefully bringing some survivors in that we can kind of do the same. So once again, it's every second Thursday of every month, 11:30 to 1 at the library.
We'll see you there. That's a Community Connection. News on the way next.
ONN News, I'm Jacqueline Scott. Good morning.